Let me throw in real quick, Neil, that someone else just joined us, and okay. That is another one of our commentators, Terrence. I believe you should be on the line. Terrence, are you there?
Hello, Terrence. How are you?
This is Terrence. Hello, Neil. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
A pleasure to talk to you. You talk slower than them. You're not going to get a word in edgewise.
Only for now.
Terrence is a true Southern gentleman.
Terrence, did you make up any questions on your way in? I'm carrying this whole load.
throw them away, Terrence. We're not going to ask.
I'll have you know, Neil, that we've been filling in Terrence via chat this entire time, so he is well aware of how this conversation has been going.
Well, there
Indeed.
You go. Well, then he already knows what I'm saying is true. Right, Terrence? See, Terrence is going... Why don't you boys come up with something? Ask this guy. He's loading you up with Batman stories, for God's sake.
I heard
don't
this
ask
was going
about
to be an
science.
Awesome experience.
I mean, Joel has about 45 questions that he sent me to ask you.
You could ask some. You Let's never see. Know what I'll say.
Let's go with, would you like to revisit Green Lantern / Green Arrow at
God,
some point?
The boring question.
Wait.
That was the easiest one for me to read. All of Joel's other questions are like six paragraphs.
Hey, Mr. Adam, would you like to read?
No, wait a minute. In my defense, I threw this open to some of our listeners.
That's
the question that kept coming up. I was like, all right, I'm sure he's answered a million times, but I'll throw it in there.
All right, do you want to... I mean, I'm assuming you've already talked at length about Creator's Right and all that.
Oh, Lord.
I mean,
no, but I not enough.
I mean, you were pretty much... You kicked that off, right?
I got a question for you. Mr. Adams, you ever want to go back and draw that Jerry Lewis comic book that you did a while ago? And that Bob Hope thing with the little talking dog. You want to do that?
Do you?
How about, listen, this is a new one for folks out there. You know Mr. Adams, he drew Archie Comics. You know that? Did you like doing that, Mr. Adams? How about that?
Well, would you go back and do Archie Comics? I mean, they've changed.
See, you did it.
I'm
just
saying,
walk right into
they,
that
they,
one.
They've changed a little over the years,
they
I believe.
Have.
So,
that's
I mean,
right.
is that something you could jump back into, or do you think it's...
I hear they have sexual organs and stuff to get married. It's a little scary over there at Archie Comics. I don't know what they're doing. I think they're going to have superheroes soon. Yeah, they're going to have Super Dilton Doily. Who remembers Dilton Doily? You don't remember Dilton Doily, do you? Mm-hmm. Super Moose. Moose? What's the problem? You look so down in the face. Oh, Archie, that's because Miss Grundy said the universe is going to end in a million years. Moose, she didn't say a million years. She said a billion years. Oh, well, that's different. I'm fine. Hey, Mr. Shoemaker, what are shoes made out of? Hide. Hide? Why should I hide? Hide. The cow's outside. So who's afraid of a cow? Oh. Obviously, I did the joke pages. Hide, the cow's outside. Guys. No, I like doing Green Lantern and Green Arrow. I like collaborating with Denny O'Neill on doing Green Lantern and Green Arrow because they were both green.
Yeah.
It was a stupid title. Julie Schwartz comes to me and he says, God, do I have stories to tell you about Green Lantern? Oh, cow. He says, we're going to put Green Lantern. He says, you're going to have your wish, Neil. Because I went to him after Gil Kane had left Green Lantern, right? And they put everybody bad on Green Lantern. And then, who do you have bad? Jack Sparling. You know, I love Jack Sparling, but, you know, he couldn't draw a muscle if you paid him. And so he had other people doing it. So I went to Julie. We called him Julie, even though his name was Julius Schwartz. And he was angry and evil. And I said, Julie, hey, Julie, I want to do a Green Lantern. He says, get out of here. I said, no, I would really like to do it. He said, we're going to cancel it. Oh, really? Is that because you put everybody bad on it? Well, Gil Kane's not around. He's doing that black mark or whatever the hell it is that he's doing. I said, Julie, I would just like, before you cancel it, I was a big fan, have been, and am a big fan of Gil Kane, and I would like to do a Gil Kane-like issue or two of Green Lantern. And so Julie said, okay, fine. Will you work with Denny? I said, sure. So anyway, so he let me do it, but he let me work with Denny. And then he came in and stopped me in the hallway and said, okay, so we're going to put Green Lantern together with Green Arrow. Now, he said that because I had done one Green Arrow in Brave and Bold, and everybody fell in love with it, but they didn't know what the hell to do with it, you know, with the beard and all the rest of it, with the Robin Hood outfit. So now everybody loved Green Arrow, but they didn't know what to do with it, so they decided to, you know, to load it back on me, since I could draw it, and apparently nobody else could. So, I'm just saying that parenthetically, because my mother's here. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway, I said, so we're gonna call a comic Green Lantern and Green Arrow? He said, yeah. I said, Julie, that's stupid. You got to call a comic Green Lantern and Green Arrow, not you know, Red Poo-Poo and Red Fart Face or something? That's ridiculous. He said, well, they want it editorially. They want it, management wants it, because they want to do something with Green Arrow. Oh, great. So, fine. So, Denny wrote a script for Green Lantern, the first script of Green Lantern, Green Arrow. Great script. Really. Oh, what a great script. First five pages live in legend, right? If I'm lying, I'm dying, right?
Yeah.
Those five pages, fantastic. And with a black guy at the top on the roof, and have you ever fought for black people? That was, tears out from you the heart, okay? So that started, you know, relevant comics. DC Comics got more press from that than I think for anything until Superman died. You know, it was relevant comics this and relevant comics that. It appeared in the Village Voice and a Newsweek magazine. People were calling Carmine Infantino, and Carmine was saying, what? Hmm. Huh? Well, you're doing relevant comics. We are? Yes, we are. Yes, Mr. Infantino, what do you think of this? Well, you know, we made a decision to do this. No, you didn't, Carmine. Anyway, so... oh, golly. So, and they didn't know what the hell we were doing. They had no idea. The management had no idea. Denny and I were loose cannons out there because we would turn out a book in a month, right? And you turn out a book in a month, that's too short a time to get used to the next explosion. We're going to do the Chicago 7 trial. Wait a second. They did the Chicago 7 trial. Do we want to let them do that? They've already done it. It's on the stands. Oh, shit. Oh, we're in trouble now. Nope, we're not that much in that much trouble. Oh, what? Wait a second. What's on this issue? What's in this issue? Well, they've got Vice President Spiro Agnew as the superintendent of a school, taking the power from a little girl who looks incredibly like Richard Nixon. Oh my God! What is going on with these two assholes? They're going to screw the company. We get a letter from the governor of Florida. If you people ever insult the Vice President of the United States like that again, I will see to it personally that none of your comic books are distributed in the state of Florida. Hey, Mr. Governor, the little girl, that was Nixon! Oh, man, we were like loose cannons. So finally, we're near the end. Denny wrote a script on overpopulation. Like, we had run out of stuff to talk about. So he did one on overpopulation where they go to this planet that's overpopulated and everybody's like standing because there's no place to sit. I'm just joking. But essentially that was the idea. And I go to Denny. I go, Denny, we got to find some other things to do. And we'd sort of, you know, shot our wad. That was pretty much it. So before we went, I went home and I drew the cover where Speedy is like sitting in the foreground and he's got the fixins for a heroin injection. And there's Green Arrow in the background going to Green Lantern and saying, aha, idiot. No, it's Green Lantern is going, aha, idiot. We're out there, blah, 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 and Speedy is a heroin addict. So I bring it in and I give it to Julie Schwartz, right? And I say, Julie, this is a new cover. And Julie innocently reaches out for it, takes it, reads it, because I finished it. Put the lettering in and everything, and he reads it and he drops it like a hot potato. He says, oh, we can't do this. Now, he said it with that Julie Schwartz voice, so my sounds very feminine, but his was, we can't, you're out of your mind, we can't do this, the comics code, this is, So I brought it around to the executives at Kinney Corporation who had bought DC Comics the year before, and I said, this is the cover I want to do, and they went, we can't, you can't, we can't. do this? No, we can't. The comic code says no. I brought it into Karma, and he said, what's this? Oh, I don't think we can do this, can we, Neil? No, Karma, we can't do this. So I go over to Marvel, right? Within like a week of handing this cover in, and I'm saying, we ought to do this cover. We should do this book. So I go to Marvel, and I'm going to visit Stan and et al., and I meet, I think it was John Romita in the bullpen, right? Mm-hmm. And he says, you know what Stan's doing? I said, no, what's he doing? He said, well, he did this book scene. He showed me the book, and it was a Spider-Man story where somebody pops pills and walks off a roof. Now, I have studied drug addiction. I was the chairman of our local drug addiction institution. And Denny and I had both gone to study all this drug addiction that was going on with the various institutions with a mind to DC Comics wanted us to do a book on drug addiction and how to fight drug addiction and blah, blah, blah. And so they sent Denny and I as the possible authors of this book. And, of course, we handed in outlines that they didn't like because we said things like, you know what? Society contributes to more than the individual does and the family does, and only the guy who's at the bottom, the guy who does the drugs, is the guy that gets fucked, and he doesn't know what the hell's going on. So, you know, I guess we have a lot of things to repair, not just him, instead of just say no. So they didn't like all that, and so we were summarily rejected, and we didn't do the book. So Stan having a guy pop pills and walk off a roof didn't exactly strike me as your true definition of what a drug addict is, because usually people didn't do that. In fact, maybe one did, but I don't know who it was. But Stan, who was a little novice in the area of drug addiction, did this, and he had this guy walk off a roof. So I said to Johnny, I guess it was Johnny, I said, what's going on? What's happening with this? He says, well, we're sending it over to the Comics Code, but obviously they're going to reject it. So I called in later and said, oh, they rejected it. I guess I went to Marvel a couple days later. They rejected it. Oh, really? So what's going to happen? You're going to take it out? No. Stan went over to see his uncle, Martin Goodman, and Martin said, do whatever you want. And Stan decided in his executive capacity as the editor-in-chief, a bubble, to print it anyway. Screw the Comics Code. We're going to print it. See what happens. Oh, cool. Stan's got balls. That's great. So anyway, week later, maybe a week and a half later, I stop in at old Marvel again. I say, what happened? Well, what happened was that the Comics Code rejected it. It went out. It got printed without the Comics Code seal. So what happened? Nothing. Nobody gave a shit. They didn't even notice the seal wasn't on it. Really? Are you kidding? No. Nobody. No, it wasn't a phone call. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Didn't even notice. Oh, shit. Okay, as I'm watching the shit slowly in slow motion hit the fan over at DC Comics, because why? Because they had that drug cover, and they decided not to print it. So now they, DC Comics and Marvel and everybody else, whoever was everybody else was, had a new meeting of the Comics Code Authority, because the Comics Code Authority was a self-regulating organization. They owned it. They got together and said, we're changing the Comics Code, finally. After, since 1953, now they decide to change the Comics Code. Within a week, I was busy drawing the story from Denny's script for that cover.
Yeah.
But they had done it too late. Stan had beat DC Comics.
Well, you know, Speedy's back on the yellow black tar now. Do you follow current comics at all?
Now and then, you know, there's an awful lot, and it's really expensive.
Yeah, yeah. He's back on the old black tar heroin.
Yeah, well, you know.
And he's missing an arm now, apparently, too.
Well, you know, things happen. Time goes by, shit happens.
Yeah.
I hear that Aquaman lost a hand, and then got it back.
He also died and came back too.
Died and came back. Listen, I participated in Professor X.
Yeah.
I was at Marvel doing volunteering to do X-Men for Stan 2 issues before Stan had decided to cancel the book. Why are you going to cancel the book, Stan? Because we can't sell the copies. I'd like to do the X-Men. I just told you we're going to cancel the book. Well, I'd like to do it anyway, for as long as you keep it. We're going to cancel it. I'm trying to tell you. Well, for as long as you keep it, I'd like to do the X-Men. He said, why do you want to do it? I said, because you're not going to pay any attention to it, right? He said, no, we're going to cancel it in 2 issues. I said, that's why I want to do it. He said, fine. 10 issues later, they cancel it. But they got so many letters, so much mail on those 10 issues. Every new artist that came on their doorstep said, I want to do the X-Men. It was great. The last 10 issues are fantastic. So they reinstated, they did some reprinting, and then they reinstated the X-Men, and then it rocketed up since then.
Yeah.
What was this starting out from? Where was I?
Did I get lost, Doctor? You getting caught up at you doing the Xavier stuff?
Oh, yeah, in the X-Men.
Yes.
So Roy's my writer, my dialoguer.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to work in the Marvel style.
Yeah.
And I call Roy, and I say, Roy, I want to bring Professor X back to life. Roy says, oh, well, Neil, he's dead. I said, yeah, I know, but I think I can figure out a way to bring him back to life. And Roy said, well, you know, Neil, we didn't just kill him. I mean, he got sick, and he got sicker, and then he got worse, and then he got sicker more, and he was in bed, and then he died. And then we buried him. He's pretty dead. I said, I know, but I think I can think of a way to get him back. Because you know what? That wasn't really Professor X. That was the Changeling. Aha! So I told Roy the story. So he said, okay, go ahead. The reason I did that was because they left me with nobody. You know, they had killed Magneto.
Yeah.
They had killed Professor X. And they were rapidly killing the book. So I had to, breathe life into these characters once again to bring them back to life. So I'm pretty experienced with this idea of, you know, losing hands and bringing people back to life and dead people come alive and all the rest of that, because guess what? It's a tradition. It's what we do in comics. Nobody is really dead. Nobody is really alive.
Well, nobody's really real, so it's easier to do that kind of thing.
It's a fiction.
Right, Joel?
It's magic.
Right, Joel?
It's magic.
Right, Joel? They're not real?
They're not real, Adam.
Okay.
They're not real, like wrestlers.
Except in my head. I'm glad Brian's not here for
that. Oh, man. I almost took it to a bad direction, and I stopped myself.
Good.
Thanks, thanks for setting me up on that one there, Neil.
Yeah. I brought you in and I saved you with wrestlers.
Oh, well, yeah, I almost made a very terrible comment, and I'm glad I didn't.
Look at you. You sound like a man who wants to make the comment. Actually, didn't want to make the comment.
I do.
Because I keep dragging it. I'm going to drag it out 4 or 5 more times and see if somebody jumps to the bait.
Well, I was going to.
Ask me, please.
I was going to say. I was going to say something about when wrestlers fall from.
Going in again. This is the fourth time around. Am I tempting anybody in the room to ask me where I was going to go?
Well, now I'm not.
I was going to go with female sexual organs.
Well, now I'm not going to say it.
Oh, now I'm not going to say it. That's number 5.
Classic.
Let me see. What can I think of? I may never say it again. So what else you got on that list?
Actually, can I ask you one question about the X-Men again?
Yeah.
Number 56 was your first X. Was that the first time that a character interacted with the title? Because you had the living monolith holding the X-Men logo on top of it. I think, was that not the first time that was ever done in comics?
And that is why I'm a legend.
I thought it was because of this interview we were about to post. Isn't this what's going to send you over the top? Aren't you?
That's what you're going
to
do.
Yeah, you're waiting for this to actually get your break, right?
Are you the only guy that doesn't know that I also did an interactive title of the same issue, but it got rejected?
Well, I didn't know that.
I must be.
Okay, so
I don't know much of anything.
The interaction is the living monolith, right, is holding the title, and the X-Men are down around his feet, right? The original cover I drew and handed in had the monolith holding the X-Men logo and the X-Men strapped to the logo.
Whoa.
Had you ever seen that? You gotta go through your fan magazines. It'll be there. and Martin Goodman rejected it. Martin Goodman rejected it because he felt we were obscuring the title, and so people might not be able to read that it was the X-Men. They were splayed out in the shape of the X-Men letters. How dumb do you have to be to be a publisher? So people like have talked about it, you know, and in fact, one of the comic book companies bought the license to print it as a print, the original one.
I'm surprised Marvel didn't go back later on and use it for a recent cover or later
a later cover.
I
would assume that they were thinking.
Yeah.
So you kind of make that assumption there, and you could run into a problem with that sort of thinking. That's not necessarily the way it goes. But you know who did it? Image.
Yeah.
Image bought the right to license that first rejected cover, recolored it, and sold it as a print.
Huh.
And in my opinion, in the back of the room, somebody was going, nyah, 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 you didn't think of doing it, yeah, bunch of jerks.
I'm recently being told that you did a Batman issue where the Joker... What, Joel?
He did one Batman issue, Adam.
No, I'm talking specifically of a Batman issue, asshole.
Where we introduced the
Look, I will take shit from Neil Adams, but I will not take shit from you, Joel.
Damn you, Joel. You're in trouble now.
So,
you know, for a 5'2", 98-pound week, that's awful big words, Adam.
Yes, but I own a car, and I know how to hit things with it.
Is this a family squabble? Can I be part of this? Thank you so much.
With the kids,
Normally I do sell rice.
Joel, you understand that he could take Neil off the line immediately and just talk to him by himself if he wanted to.
You know what else he could do, Terrence? He could also just record our questions and not the answers.
So,
I did an issue of Batman and the Joker. It was probably a legendary issue and partially responsible for the Batman-Joker movie.
Yeah,
they gave me a royalty check for it.
Well, I'm reading...
And the writer said, no, we're not doing a takeoff of the Killing Joke. We're doing a takeoff of Neil and Denny's book. And I forget the name of it myself.
I'm reading here, there is a scene in a Batman book where the Joker throws a paraplegic into a pool of sharks.
Well, not a pool, just one shark.
Just a shark.
Because I think the philosophy was one pool. Shark can do pretty much the same amount of damage that a pool of sharks can do.
Hence the whole, why draw multiple sharks when you don't have to?
Nah, he wasn't a paraplegic. He was, I don't think he was a paraplegic. He was somebody of significance, and he was in a wheelchair.
Mm.
So he kicked him into the pool. No, he made Batman make a choice, I think, and that it was either going to kick the guy into the pool or Batman had to jump into the pool with handcuffs.
Yeah.
So Batman jumped into the pool with handcuffs, and then he kicked the guy into the pool with the wheelchair.
Why am I laughing?
It does have a certain humor to it, I thought. Why? You said you wouldn't. You believe me? I'm the Joker, you jerk.
Poor
Batman. What a sucker. Yeah. Hey, Batman, sucker.
And yet, Joker still lives after all
Joker
this time.
Joker still lives.
After all this time.
We'll fix that.
I mean, do you think that the reason Joker still lives is because you think...
nobody's killed him yet.
Do you think Batman would be less interesting without the Joker to worry about?
Are you really asking me that question?
Oh, it's a question that I'm asking. directed individual?
If we have an incredibly interesting character and we got rid of him, would Batman be as interesting? No.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, I'm one of those people. I'm one of those very, very simple people that when you say, what is the sound of one hand clapping? I say, there is no sound of one hand clapping. One hand can't clap. I'm one of those guys.
Does that not count? Is that? I don't know if this is picking up on mic.
I can hear you.
Yeah.
I can hear you tapping on the mic.
No.
He's tapping on the mic. Who's the guy in the background doing the bubbles?
Well, I mean, as much as they kill superheroes and bring them back, why hasn't the Joker ever been knocked off? I know it's fiction.
They lie.
But why is it so much easier to kill a superhero than it is to kill the Joker in a comic?
Because you care about heroes. You don't care about villains. If they kill the villain, you just go, ah. If you kill a hero, you go, oh. Don't kill the hero.
Do you think people don't...
I love the hero.
You think people don't care about the Joker, though? I mean, I bet you a lot of people... No?
Kill them, bastards. I would kill the Joker in a minute. I would kill the Joker and sleep that night.
Wow.
No, it wouldn't be. Even be a question.
So you just don't think it's that interesting to kill the Joker?
No, it's boring.
Oh, okay.
If you kill him, it's like, we lost the Joker. He's a monster. The guy is a living monster. He should be killed.
Yeah.
I would do it. Give me a gun. Point me to him. I would kill him. Put a bullet right in his head. Come out the other side. Drill a floor. Hey, Joker, guess what? You're dead. Make up a joke about that.
You ain't coming back.
You're not coming back. Dance across the room with your dead body. Who's that little girl that's with him all the time?
Oh, Harlequin?
Harlequin. Second bullet for you. Hey. Put this one in your mouth. Sorry you had to die, but, you know, you're with your boyfriend now.
Nice. It's a one gun, two bullets.
You don't want the girls with the breasts to die.
Yeah.
You're that typical male. Oh, she's got breasts. Can't kill her.
Toss her in jail.
That's what made, that detective so popular, Mickey Spillane, so popular.
Yeah.
He shot her full in her soft white breast. Oh, God, Mickey. Oh, how can you do that? Oh, I'll read your next book, I promise, but don't do that. And he shot her in her soft white breast. Oh, God. Sold a million books, that guy. Don't do that stuff.
Oh,
you notice,
man.
All girls in comics have large breasts.
What's up with that?
What is that? God, I don't know. Mammary cream, something. I don't know.
Are they easier to draw that way?
Inability to draw. Yeah, I think that's it. We had a character called in our comic book publishing company called Sam Marie, and we will have her again, and not too long from now, called Sam Marie, and she had little, you know, A cups, but she had an ass that wouldn't quit. And
nothing wrong with
that.
We
sold a lot of comic books with her. She had little boobs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's cool. I like that. But I think it's just the inability to draw. Except in the case of Adam Hughes. Ha ha. Plaster your wall with those babies.
I just throw Adam Hughes at HeroesCon this past weekend had his piece in the art auction go for $8,000.
Well, there you go.
And that was
it's good. It was good.
And so did Mark Brooks. Mark Brooks also had a piece go for $8,000.
Mark Brooks. I don't even know him. What did he do?
He does Marvel X books.
Yeah, he does a lot of
one of those guys.
A lot of Marvel.
You know, there's a lot of guys around these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can miss somebody. Can slip right through the cracks. I didn't read the signature. Aren't you ashamed, Mr. Adam? No, I don't give a shit.
I think.
Why do I have to memorize their names? You know, I'm the legend. I can forget.
I think Mark has been with Marvel for about 10 years now, I think.
Oh, don't try to embarrass me. That's terrible to
well
do that.
Well done.
No.
Let me tell you a Stan Lee story. And I say this with all affection and love. Okay? Stan, if you're out there, you know I love you, okay? But you know this story is true.
He won't hear
We're
this.
We're at the first Academy of Comic Book Arts meeting at the Illustrators Club. I don't know how... that worked out, but we were at the Illustrators Club.
Yeah.
And I'm the vice president, and Stan was the president because, I don't know, he volunteered. So Stan's the president, and he comes over to me, and he says, Neil, you know, all these guys, there's a lot of guys I don't know the names. I can't associate the names. But I said, you're kidding. I mean, you see these guys? No, I really don't see them all the time. Can you just, like, stand next to me and remind me who they are? And he said, for example, that guy that's walking toward us right now with the beard, the big guy. I said, Stan, that's John Buscema, your best. Stan goes, John, it's so wonderful to see you. My God. So, you know, it's not just me. You know?
No. Absolutely. Absolutely. What's a Neil Adams piece go for these days on the old internet?
They go I don't sell pages.
Yeah.
But I do sell sketches and stuff, and they go for, well, my son sells them, and they go for like $800.
Yeah.
We have small ones. Hey, we can promote NeilAdams.com. Hey, guys, anybody out there, you want to buy some Neil Adams drawings? We got them here, hot off the press. You can get them. You can get Batman. You can get Wonder Woman. Oh, look at those boobs. You can get Black Canary. Very sexy. You can get them all at continuity.com, okay? And they go from, like, a little sketch for, I don't know, $300 or $400 to a kind of more complicated drawing for, like, $10,000, $15,000, like that.
So do you
They're not cheap. They're not cheap. I will admit. I'm sorry. I apologize for a good one. It's about $2,000 or $3,000. We try to keep, you know, the good ones around $2,000 or $3,000. But you know, they're all pretty good. Even the small ones, you know.
But again,
you're the living legend, Neil Adams. It's worth it.
And I'm the living legend, Neil Adams. That's what my son says, Dad. You're a living legend. Draw these pictures.
So
some sketches, Dad.
Do you do
That's
commissions?
That's what a living legend does, Dad. You draw sketches, I sell them for $3,000. Oh, I get it. Worth it being a living legend for that.
Do you do commissions, or do people just pretty much, okay?
We do commissions.
Yeah.
I do drawings that I've already done before, but I have to change them because you can't do them the same twice.
Right, right.
It's like copying, but we do commissions.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, too, is that very often people think, hey, Neil doesn't do that. But the guys who get it, like, are going. I had a guy the other day that last week that got like, I don't know, 5 or 6 pieces and spent a ton of money till his wife got mad at him. What are you doing? Are you out of your mind? And we told him the same thing. Your wife's going to kill you, pal. But he dropped a load. The guy dropped a load. I'm telling you.
So why don't you sell pages?
Because mostly I don't have them. So the ones we have left, they got stolen.
Oh.
For the most part. And when I was fighting for the return of original art, I couldn't. One of the things that guys did when that battle was going on is they'd go into the drawers up at DC Comics and they'd take their original art out and take them home.
Yeah.
If I did that and somebody spotted me, then they'd say, well, you just steal the artwork back, so why should I listen to you? So I had to take the high ground and say, you know, no, we're waiting for the artwork to be returned. So that's my stand. That's the way it's going to be. Nobody can catch me taking backwater on any of this stuff. So I had to be more than honorable. So unfortunately, other people weren't. And so they lifted stuff left and right. So we were left with very little. I did get some back, but my family feels very, you know, cranky about letting loose of that stuff.
Yeah.
And stuff was stolen from our studio. We had people that we didn't realize were stealing stuff. We're taking stuff from the studio. It's just, you know, hey, Neil, I'm your friend, you know, but I'm stealing your originals. Not very friendly. Why didn't we lock the drawers? Because I generally tend to trust people. I'll just say, hey, you know, if they're working here and getting paid, they're trustworthy. Guess what? Not necessarily true. So although the family has kind of agreed that we're going to sell some of the originals from this series, because it's a big deal, and we have one of the things we're doing is we're also doing blue lines. We ink the blue lines and keep the pencils.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we've got a second generation of people now in the family that are buying homes and sending kids to college, and you know there's a good use for the money. So if I do a page for the money I'm going to get from DC, and I can sell it for say $25,000, which seems to be the possibility, then it's going to be very good for one of my grandkids' education.
Yeah, that's more than my car.
Yeah, no, I know. It's got,
more than
believe
all of
me,
cars.
It's got nothing to do with me. I remember about 10 years ago, Jim Lee let everybody know that any X-Men pages of those 10 issues, he would buy for $10,000. And I think he and a bunch of people, you know, being out in the open like that, got a lot of those pages. The prices are, especially of this, you know, Odyssey. You gotta imagine. Look, the shit that I've been telling you about Odyssey really is true. I mean, it's really kind of my A game. So there's lots of stuff in there. It's just meat and potatoes. And I don't recommend buying originals of it. You know, it's I think that kind of, I would never do that. I would drop $25,000 on a piece of comic book art. I'd blow my brains out first.
Yeah.
But other people, I mean, you know, have the money to do it.
So basically,
so, but I say buy the comic book. You know, yeah. Or you know, I'm sure they're going to reprint the first two issues in a black and white pencil form.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the story's in the book. It's not on that single page.
Right.
And,
right.
And that's the finished product.
Although I will say, there's a lot of Batman on a lot of pages.
Uh-oh.
A lot of Batman.
That means a lot of money.
So do you basically, I guess the value is at like $25,000 because otherwise people weren't, I mean, they're willing to pay that, so.
Well, it's not so much that they're willing to pay it. They're willing to buy it for $10,000 and sell it to somebody else for $25,000.
Yeah.
Sounds about
so,
right.
You know, so unless my family is stupid, they're not. Yeah. They're going to sell it for what the market will bear, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if they didn't, I'd go, you're stupid.
Yeah. You were talking about how you ink the blue lines now?
Sometimes.
How do you go about, you know, just kind of laying out your pages? Do you do thumbnails first?
I lay out four pages on a piece of typing paper, the size of the typing paper. So I fold it into four, and I lay them out on the typing paper. And the reason I do that is because I approach things kind of scientifically. I know that the eye can only focus in a certain space, and then you get past a certain distance in your eye, and you can't really focus well. You think that you can see things peripherally, but you only can do that because then you bunch your eye over there, and then you look at it directly, and you say, "Oh, see, I can see it clearly." That's really not true. You only have this center section that you can see, and you can only take it in. So I have found that piece of paper that I can completely encompass anything I want to do on that page in that size, no matter how close or far away I am from that piece of paper. So I can compose the whole page as a piece of art. If I have an actual page that I'm trying to draw, I have to have my eye go from here to here to here to here to see the whole page. And that doesn't allow me to make it as a composition. I mean, to give you an example, you see this cartoon all the time. When a painter is painting a painting, he will step back, you know, like 15 or 20 feet to see the whole thing as a composition. And then he'll generally hold up his thumb and look at it, which is ridiculous. He's just measuring stuff. But he steps back to get a sense of it, and then he goes in and paints it. Well, he steps back because when he's in close, he can't see it. He can only see the place he's painting. So solving that problem intellectually, what I do is I draw small, I see the whole thing, then I blow it up on a Xerox, put it under my page, and then I can pencil the individual panels and know that the composition for the whole page will be there. I mean, for example, just to give you an example, and this is not to brag, I'm not bragging, but it's true. People have copied my work or imitated my style. You know that, right?
True.
Absolutely.
And you have to logically ask the question, well, if they imitate Neil's style so well, and they clearly do imitate my style, why aren't they doing collections of their work the way they're doing collections of Neil's stuff? Why does Neil's stuff seem to last, you know, for years and years? And then they do, you know, a $75 version of Green Lantern, Green Arrow. Then they do a deluxe version. Well, there's reasons why that happens to my stuff and may not happen to other people's stuff. Because there's extra thought processes that go into it that have nothing to do with, you know, the hand coming forward in that very odd pose, or the running at you or running away from you, things that might signal you to say, oh, yeah, that's a Neil Adams style. There's other things in there, things that, you know, grab at your throat, that make you look at something on a very emotional level that you remember and you key to, and it lasts for years and years and years, because I am, in effect, communicating directly from my brain to your brain, and you, like, got it. And so there's reasons. It's not bragging or anything, but I know from the responses of people that I am making that connection. So when you read this new stuff, you're going to get that same thing. You're going to go, oh, that's that cool. And you'll remember things. You'll remember images. And to get a little braggy, you'll see stuff that I do in this series show up in other people's work. before you know it.
I mean, that's like just the truth there. So I mean, you've been bit so many times, it's out of control.
But it's okay. You know, that's how we move forward.
In the, I guess, in the process vein still, do you like working on like a certain amount of panel grid, or, you know, what do you think about that 6-panel grid that a lot of people like, you know, Joe Kubert and Jack Kirby work with?
For me, everything has to be new. Everything is an experiment. If I do a page that I'm not experimenting on, then it's tedious. I don't like it. I don't like the process of not thinking. It's one of the reasons I have really come to the end of my rope with advertising. I think I've done everything I wanted to do, and I'm back in comic books to show other things. So, and maybe film to show other things, because I don't enjoy the thinking that is a result of doing it a second time. I don't like that. I like it to be new all the time. I'm just doing. Let's say the page I've got here. Okay, just what I was working on today when you guys call. Yeah. Top panel. Okay, it's got not Batman, but Batman with a nail gun. Okay, with a fucking nail gun blasting away at stone killers. Okay. In the first panel and yelling like Sergeant Rock, okay? He's going to blast the hell out of these people, and he looks like he can do it, and he's got the nail gun to prove it. In the second panel, a sideways shot where he's using the same gun and blows up a thing that looks like a tank, just blows it to shit and lifts it up off the ground. And two magicians are in the background that are on his side gesturing futilely because he's got a nail gun and they got magic. Right. Third panel, I got a character I call Primus, who is an evolved, I probably shouldn't tell you this, dinosaur. Okay.
What?
Squatting down near the ground in this battle that's taking place, shooting at four guys with a gun he's never handled before, and he's really curious about what it does. And what it does is it instantly injects these guys in the 5th panel with this shit that makes them lose control of their body and flop all over the place on the battlefield and get really pissed as they do it. 5th panel, Primus gets up, and with his personal gun, there's one guy that apparently didn't get hit by this thing, and so he smashes his head back with the butt of his gun, knocking him out and probably gives him a multiple concussion. Now... all of that stuff is, I've never done any of that before. on any page ever. And I've never drawn a nail gun before. And I'm not talking about nail guns you put in the wall. I'm talking about nail guns that you pick up and fire like a machine gun, and they fire shells that pierce armor. That's a nail gun.
Yeah.
And this is in the middle of a Batman book. Now, that's what I was doing today. Okay, later tonight, I'm going to be doing another page, and it's going to be Batman is going to be having a martial arts fight with the sensei. That's the next page.
Nice.
Whoa. And it's going to be real martial arts, because guess what? I know how to do it. I can personally kill a cow. There's not much business in that, not much call for it. But if you ever need that, I can kill one with my bare hands. I haven't had anybody actually call me to do that, which is kind of disappointing because it takes a long time to learn to kill a cow. And, you know, it's like, why did I do that? I don't know.
One man slaughterhouse?
I could have done a lot of other things and not that. Bullfighting. I could have done bullfighting or... kickboxing, but no, killing a cow. Guy convinced me. Cost me $300 to learn how to do that. About 4 weeks. All I got at the end of it was a dead cow. Some butcher took it away. I was like, good. What do I do now? Well, I'm afraid there's not much call for killing cows with your bare hands.
Did you get to eat it?
I think I ought to get some of my money back.
Did they give you a belt or anything like that? Is that
the point? No, there's no such thing.
Leather belt, yes.
If you go down to the dojo, they will laugh at you. You go into the dojo and you go to the sensei and say, I can kill a cow. He just looks at you cross-eyed and says, you're an idiot. he turns to his students and he says, this fool spent money to learn to kill a cow. You are learning to do the noble art. He's an idiot. Thank you. I don't think I want to have that experience again. But I can do it. You have to twist right at the end there. That's the killing part. And the cow, like, turns to you and gets this really confused look on his face, falls down. I know guys who tip cows. Shit, they go, same thing. You know, kill it, gets up. You know, tipping cows, where you go out at night, push your cow over. Guys, you got to get out in the world.
I remember I went to go do to go do that one time, and we couldn't find any of the cows in the pasture. They were all on the other side somewhere.
That's right.
So we gave up, and that was the only attempt I ever made.
Yeah, well, some of them like lean against one another, and you have to actually push two of them over to get one. And then you have those, like, you know, graceful footed cows that do this like little dance sideways, and they go ha ha, didn't get me. That little cross-legged dance, you know, where you don't really go over. You guys are crazy.
I don't
you
know.
Guys will laugh at anything.
I don't know if I ever will have
the kind of stuff that we used to get in trouble for back in the. That's like a.
I don't.
Something or backcountry thing.
I don't know if I'll ever own a farm, Neil. But if I do, you are not allowed on it.
I am not allowed.
You'd be running
near the pigs or the cows.
Yeah,
your cow's the dim mock of touch of death.
Yes, animals,
tell us what you
animals, that the animals will call to me.
Tell us what you know about. Tell us what you know about goats, Neil.
What do I know about goats?
Yeah.
Well, when I was working on a farm, I can't tell you about. Well, goats will hump you. It's very important to know, and you don't want to get a really big goat because they could really do it. Then you might end up, you know, goat mommy. You got to really watch that. Little goats, you know, they'll hump your leg with those big goats. They'll bend you right over. So anyway, I'm working on this farm, and this lady comes by, comes in this car, and she says, pardon me, I just wanted to know why that cow doesn't have horns. And I said, well, ma'am, some cows are dehorned. Some cows are actually born without horns. But that particular cow doesn't have horns because that cow's a horse. Ma'am.
Wow.
You guys just walked into that. You know why?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't even fucking, like,
you know
nobody
why you
saw that coming.
That? Somewhere, the reason you walked into that is somewhere on your table there's a Henway. Right? Am I right? Am I right?
No, I'm not going to walk into that one. I know that one. Sorry. Sorry. Gotcha. Fool me once, Mr. Adams.
Oh, my. I have a friend that we I did that on. He was a computer repair guy. And he was explaining to me what was wrong with the computers. He had an assistant, a little Japanese guy, who always wore a perennial smile on his face. And Mike, my friend, is trying to explain to me what's wrong with the computer. And I said, are you sure it's just not missing a Henway? He says, what do you mean? That's not what he said. He said, what's a Henway, of course.
Yeah.
And I said, well, about 4.5 pounds. Why do you ask? And he says, what? I said, about 4.5 pounds. Nice. Why do you ask? And he says, I don't know what you're talking about. But his little assistant is laughing and falling against the wall and pounding the table, right? And Mike turns to me and he says, what are you talking about? He said, what's a Henway? I said, about 4.5 pounds. He says, what are you talking about? I don't understand. I'm trying to explain what's wrong with the computer. I don't understand what you're talking about. And his assistant just rolls on the floor. He's just the guy rolling around. And Mike goes, looks at him, goes, what the hell is wrong with you? Anyway,
that is
yes. The end of that story.
It reminds me a lot of dealing with the dick four.
The dick four, right?
Yeah.
No, pussy four. You got to get the joke right.
Man, what the?
Because you can just hear yourself say that, can't you? pussy for? God, how late is it getting? Is this the short interview? Or
Absolutely. We've gone 3.5 hours, Neil. Not this time, but that's our longest so far. Our longest so far is 3.5 hours. We're only at two with you. We're only at two now.
Oh, okay. I think I better get home and do some work.
I mean, we have
a Batman page. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, Neil.
That's it for you guys.
What's the address for your site, Neil?
It's neiladams.com, and it's my email is neil@neiladams.com.
Are you
so hard to remember.
Are you planning on attending any conventions or anything this season?
Oh, sure. I'm going to be in San Diego with Bells on. I'm a guest of honor. So are my sons, my three sons.
Okay.
Oh, fantastic.
It's the Adams contingent. We're all guests of honor. Very cool. It's very cool.
And
my son Josh, the youngest, is a working professional comic book artist. My son Joel is an animation designer, and my son Jason is a sculptor of renown at this point. He did the Batman sculpture of my stuff and the Man-Bat that's coming up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and in my opinion, very good looking. And he also runs my website, so for anybody who wants to get anything, it's not like you're going to this impersonal website. My son tags himself, Spider, Jason Spider Adams. And if if somebody wants to get something or just chat with him, he's very open, very comfortable, very easy to get along with. He's nicer than me.
Wait
a minute. Nicer than you? How did that happen?
No. There's levels of niceness. Joe Kubert is at the top. Joe's at the top. I can never come near Joe. So, I'm down at, the 90th percentile. Joe's at the 100th.
So we also heard you're going to be making an appearance at Cal Poly. Is that?
Yes, I am. I'm going to do a speech. I'm going to do a speech on this.
Oh, fantastic.
How do I get in there? I mean, I'm only about 2 hours away. I'd like to.
It's free.
I looked on their website today, and they didn't have anything on their calendar about it.
Well, I can't explain that. It's like comic book conventions. I didn't know you were coming, but it's supposed to be there. Well, golly, that's a surprise. You were here. Yeah, it was mentioned. I don't know. Well, I'm going to be there with bells on, and people are hearing about it. I think they just don't want the crowd. I don't know.
Well,
I don't really know.
I'm sure that Joel will go out of his way somewhere in the near future to try to schedule an interview with you again. I mean, we all had a blast. So
good. It's been fantastic. I'm sorry I was so late. It was just a big shit storm around here. So,
would you be all right with that, Neil, coming back maybe a little bit and picking up on some other stuff?
Sure, that'll be fun. No problem.
Well,
thank you so much for your time, Neil.
Yeah.
I can't thank you enough for doing this. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
All right, get back to that Batman, and we'll check you out.
I will. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank
bye,
you,
guys.
Neil.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye, Neil.
Bye.